This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstand Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yeah, usually I would play music at this point and do my opening, but we have such an incredible show today. We're jumping right into things. All right, let's see. Let's get into it because I have about 1,000 questions. My guess is that my guests are prepared to answer all of them. And we'll be taking calls in just a few minutes. Write down our phone number, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, because even though we're going to be talking about real estate, buying and selling and all that stuff, it is not particularly limited to the Charlottesville area. If you need to use the toll-free line, my guests today are smart enough to help. Let's introduce everybody. As always, I like to start with the mixer first because it sometimes can provide a little trouble. Jim Duncan. Jim, how are you?
Doing well.
Hey, excellent. Catherine and Michael fired you up right in the beginning. Jim Duncan from Jim Duncan Real Estate. Is that the proper?
I'm actually with Century 21 Manly.
Century 21 Manly.
Correct.
And the little subdivision is Jim Duncan Real Estate, right?
My website is named after that, but
Century 21 Manly.
Right next to the old Krispy Kreme.
What do the women think about that?
Well, it's got an E, M-A-N-L-E-Y.
Oh. Jim Duncan's here to talk about real estate, and I have Matt Hodges here to do the financial part, loan officer with Compass Home Loans. Is that correct?
That is correct. Good morning.
So I didn't screw that part up.
No, perfect.
All right. I do want to thank Matt and Jim for coming in today. It's a pretty serious topic, despite the fact that I'll make numerous cracks about it, not being a homeowner. Let's toss that out there early on in the program today. Which is where I'm coming from and asking my questions is sort of the dorky guy who's afraid of proving himself to be not very smart on the topic at hand. I don't know much. Lots of questions, and you're out there to join me. You can be anonymous. You can call in and give us your first name. That's what these guys are here for. Questions and answers on buying and selling real estate. The first thing to start with, guys, is everyone has been aware about the rising value of homes here in our area, and every once in a while you hear something about the bubble is going to burst. And just because you paid $150,000 for the house 10 years ago and you could have sold it for $350,000 at the, sometime last year, because that's how much the value has gone up. Is the value still increasing in this area, or are things finally starting to fade out a little bit?
I think that the easy answer to that is that the rate of appreciation is going to be less than it has been in the past. I don't see a bubble per se. I think the word bubble oversimplifies the whole equation. I think that the rate of appreciation is going to be not 20% per year, which is not an altogether bad thing for a house to appreciate 5 to 7% a year.
But have not a lot of people been buying homes or just selling their home because they knew they could get a lot more than it was worth?
Well, I think that it's a difficult question. Everybody sells for a particular reason. I think greed does play a part of it, but I think that it's ultimately a lifestyle decision, not necessarily I'm buying and selling in 2 years to make a bunch of money is the gut reaction for some people.
Matt, do you see a greater percentage of people coming to you to buy a home that's their second home? Because that's what you read about a lot in the papers. Hey, there's a lot of homes being sold, but a larger percentage than I think a lot of people would be aware are actually second homes to the upper percentage of our population.
We do see second homes being purchased in our area. We have a beautiful environment, a great place to live, good quality of life. So there are some second home purchases, but I think perhaps some of the reason that we've had a run-up is because some of the speculation. the investors that are coming in looking at property and looking at a appreciation that will beat their other investments. So perhaps that's some of the reason that we've had a little bit of the run-up. I talked to a realtor the other day about the appreciation in our marketplace, and in the last 40 years, she quoted me that there have been two down markets. So in terms of a bubble, I agree with Jim that there isn't per se a bubble in our area. We have a strong employment base. I think that you might just see a slowing of the increase in values.
Now, you said that people were buying because of the value increasing. Does that mean that there are more landlords buying homes and that there are actually more people renting because they can't afford to buy their own home?
Well, interestingly enough, with the condo conversions that we've heard so much about recently.
You mean the apartments that are now being called condos?
Correct. Yeah, Hessian Hills or JPA or Barracks West.
Old Salem or
Old
whatever
Salem,
it is
which turns into Holiday. Barracks West, right?
Yeah.
A lot of that is simply a switch in ownership from the apartment group to major investors. And there's investors out there that are purchasing 2 and 3 units in a package at a discount. And so it is a little bit of a switch in the ownership. Some of those apartment dwellers are also becoming owners in the process. But a good bit of it is the speculation that the condominium will continue to increase in value.
All right, let's get started on some of the more specific and direct questions on buying and selling a home. Feel free to dial us up. Catherine and Michael are out there today answering the phone and passing you through. 979-0919-1877-WNRN-ROCK. That's toll free, 1-877-967-6762-979-0919. Let me ask you guys, how do I know if I can afford a home? Because let's face it, if I'm working in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area, at some point you have to draw the line on how far out you're going to go. So, you know, people will tell you that Greene County, Flavanna, Orange, Nelson, they're all also experiencing a fairly high cost in housing, maybe not quite as much as Charlottesville and Albemarle, but there's only so far out I can go. So how do I know if I can afford a home?
Great question. What you can afford for a home likely will be less than what a lender can approve you for, because we have such a vibrant marketplace of lenders that are willing to loan to borrowers. We might be able to approve someone well above where they feel comfortable for buying. So what I would suggest simply is to, when you're working with your realtor, when you're working with your lender, is to explore what your comfort level is for a payment each month, what your down payment is that you've got to work with, and then we back into a sales price that is comfortable for that borrower. We never want to sell them to a level that they can be approved for.
I think Matt's right in that when I tell my clients, when they ask that question, I tell my clients, find out what you're comfortable price range is. Because there's a distinct difference between what some lenders will give you and what you can afford every month. Because sometimes the upper range of that pre-approval doesn't factor in food and diapers and things of that nature. And it's, you know, it can be difficult sometimes when a buyer when their eyeballs get too big for what they can really afford.
All right, I'm going to pick some even numbers here. This has nothing to do with what I make or anything else. But let's say that you're renting your place now, and you pay $1,000 a month on rent. And so then you've got to figure out your, you toss in some electrical, et cetera, for whatever you pay. I can't just go, fine, I can afford to pay $1,000 a month on mortgage, can I? Because aren't there other things in there that that owning a home costs me that renting a home doesn't? Insurance and taxes.
Actually, I'd argue that it's the other way around, that owning a home allows you to have a higher payment than when you're renting because of all the tax deductions available. Most renters will file their federal taxes with the standard deduction. For a single person, it's around $5,000. For a married couple, it's $10,000. When you have a home that you own, you have then property taxes and interest that you can write off against your income. That allows you to buy more home because the effective cost to you is lower each month.
What about what I got to pay the H&R Block guy? Is that factored there somewhere? Because now I can't do my EZ form anymore. I got to do some other form.
I haven't yet paid a tax professional to do my personal tax return. My company, yes.
That's because you're the finance expert in here. I'm representing, Dorky Joe Sixpack, who does the EZ form because I can't read the small print on all the rest of those tax forms.
So a $200 fee that you paid H&R Block isn't a bad investment of your money.
But you're telling me that whatever I pay a month in rent is certainly fine to start as to what I can afford in terms of a monthly mortgage payment?
I think that the one difference to consider also is the psychological impact of owning a home. People tend to be, from my experience, are more responsible people when they own their own home and they have an investment in where they come home at night. Frankly, not everybody is cut out to be a homeowner. And I think that that's an important distinction, that 100% of the people out there should not buy a home. But it's a decision that they need to make on their own and with professional guidance.
All right. How do I decide, where I want to live? Or maybe I have decided where I want to live. I know that I want to live in this part of town because it's near where I work or because that's the schools I want my kids to go to, et cetera. So what do? I know I want to buy a place, and here's the, here's the general area that I want to buy one from.
Get started. Hopefully you have a friend who can refer you to a good realtor or a good lender. And I think those are the
one you hear on the radio.
Or the one you hear on the radio. but I think you find somebody you trust to advise you, who's going to help you find the resources that will guide you in the right direction. You pick the, when I look for homes and I have people who are looking for elementary schools, that's where I drill down. I start there and then I ask what their comfortable price range is. And we go from there. And a lot of it is done online. A lot of it can be done just by looking at pictures and what's to the left and the right. But you need to get out there and look at homes and see what's to the left, what's to the right, what does the area smell like? I mean, what are the intangibles that you can't see online?
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, there's no harm in interviewing multiple lenders, multiple realtors. You need to find a comfort level with the person that you're working with. Pretty much if you are a realtor within the Association of Realtors here in Charlottesville, if you're a lender within our association, and most are affiliate members of the association, you're a good, reputable professional in our marketplace. But you don't necessarily mesh with every client that you come across. So interview, certainly, and then decide who you're going to work with, and they'll be your advocate all the way through the process.
By the way, we are taking phone calls here, 979-0919, 1-877, WNRN Rocks, as we talk about buying and selling homes with Jim Duncan from Century 21 Manly Real Estate.
Correct.
And Matt Hodges from the local Compass Home Loans. Okay, we're talking, that question was sort of around the sense of, I live in here and I already know some of the schools. What if I'm moving somewhere new? Because let's face it, I think summer is the big moving time, right? Especially in this area. We have a lot of grad students or people from the hospital area who are moving somewhere else. I'm moving to Rochester, Minnesota. I have a friend who's moving to Rochester, Minnesota to go to the Mayo Clinic. And I don't know anything about the school. How do I find out more about the school?
I mean, I had an email lead yesterday from my website. And she said, I've been looking online. I'm in Indiana, and my fiance is already in Charlottesville working. I've been trying to find a place to live, and there's a lot of stuff online, but I'm overwhelmed. I need boots on the ground to help me learn. You can do some research online, find the school ratings. Virginia has SOLs, which are one metric by which to measure a school's success or failure. You look at those kind of dynamics. If you are interested in the demographics, you can find those online. You can find most of the answers online, but again, the intangibles are somewhere where you need to find somebody who is going to be able to advise you firsthand.
Go hang out at the coffee shop and chat around with people.
I do a lot of work at coffee shops.
Let's take our call. We have Scott from Belmont. Hey, Scott.
Good morning.
Good morning. What you got?
Brief comment and then a question. I've owned houses off and on for 30 years, and I've never had a mortgage in the past I wouldn't gladly trade for. So if anybody's thinking about it, I think one factor that sort of gets missed is your mortgage as opposed to your rent becomes sort of a way that it forces people to stretch their budget, but also forces them to save de facto, not only because of appreciation, but just because of the amount they put in. So I would say to anybody out there who's at all thinking, you won't regret it 5 years later in this area. At least I've never had that experience. And then perhaps a question for you all. I'm always puzzled at what drives prices up. Increase in income certainly hasn't. So maybe with gas prices and so forth, that will continue to drive up Charlottesville prices as opposed to, say, people who are commuting in from Buckingham or Greene or whatever.
I agree with you that the one thing that I do with my clients now who are considering living 20 or 30 miles away and commuting in is we factor in, you know, what that commute's going to cost them. We don't. People tend to move to the city and they tend to be closer to their jobs. But one thing I also see is people are doing more telecommuting. Regarding the appreciation, I think it's essentially been supply and demand. We have a lot of people who want to live here, and we have all these top 10 rankings, top 25 rankings. I think number 39 recently for Kiplinger, smartest place to live. People want to live in the Charlottesville, Albemarle, Central Virginia area, and as long as that continues to be a good thing, I think that we'll see more and more appreciation.
All right, thanks, Scott. Scott already hung up. He was listening on the radio. You're welcome to dial in and ask your question. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Scott from Belmont with his question. 1118, as we talk about buying and selling homes, here with Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges. Let's take a second and tell you the markets of Tiger Fuel forecast. For Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, sunny today, highs 75 to 80. So nice out there. Clears tonight, lows 40 to 45. Sunny tomorrow, highs 70 to 75. Right now it's clear across the listening area. 69 in the Valley, 64 in Lynchburg, 76 in Richmond, and a beautiful 74 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. They are the recipient of the 2006 Charlottesville Environmental Vision Award. And on Saturday, June 3rd, starting at 8:30 a.m., Blue Ridge invites you to celebrate National Trails Day with them at Charlottesville High School. Live music, food, and Blue Ridge Ravana Trail shirts for the first 200 folks. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is in the Bear Crow Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, and at BRMS.com. All right, back to the show, buying and selling real estate. Sort of a question and answer. Feel free to dial up with your questions. Jim and Matt with the answers. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Guys, how do I know if buying a house is the biggest thing you're going to do for your life, right? The biggest purchase that 99.9% of people are going to buy for their life is buying their home.
For the most part.
I've received some help in determining how much I can afford to purchase in terms of a home, and I've looked around and I found it. There's a down payment to be made, right? How much of a down payment do I have to make? Where does it come from? What are some of the tricks that go along with that?
Okay. The down payment that you place on your home is based on what you want to place down. You don't have any requirement to put a down payment, even if it's investment property. You're going to pay for a higher interest rate in that case, or you'll have two loans that are pieced together.
Really? I thought you had to put like 5% down or something.
No, it's a fantastic world we live in. You can put zero down. In fact, you can borrow greater than the property value and roll your closing costs into the transaction. It doesn't mean that you should do that. It means that it's possible to do that. Now, I can give you some specific examples. Zero down programs that are very popular if you're a veteran. The VA entitlement allows you to put nothing down and have no private mortgage insurance. Virginia Housing Development Authority, fantastic organization. they allow you to put zero down and have no mortgage insurance. There are what we call 80-20 programs. That is the representative's purchase price, 80% first loan, 20% second loan, adding up to 100%.
What is mortgage insurance?
Mortgage insurance is...
I don't buy credit card insurance, and I don't buy the extended warranty from that, from my stereo from Best Buy or Circuit City. Do I have to have mortgage insurance on my mortgage?
Absolutely not. Unless you're purchasing a house with FHA financing, your lender should advocate for you that you're not paying private mortgage insurance. It is a fee that protects the lender in case you were to default. It is not tax deductible versus interest on a second loan that we prefer to do that is tax deductible up to $100,000. Please consult the CPA, not Matt Hodges. in the cases of a small down payment, whether it's zero or five, we really prefer because that gets the client better terms. But in case of a smaller down payment than 20%, we try our best to avoid private mortgage insurance.
And I'll say also that from a negotiating standpoint, when we don't have this case that often anymore, in a multiple offer situation, if you're looking at one offer that has 20% down or 10% down versus one that has 0% down, some sellers will think that the 20% is more advantageous and there's less risk involved in that offer. I think that, again, going from a negotiating point of view, it's not always strictly about the highest price.
You know, are we doing this in the right order? I'm asking about the mortgage, et cetera, et cetera. Do I have to do all that before I find the house that I want and decide if I want to make an offer?
I think that Jim and I probably are on the same line here. It's important as you are talking to your realtor and looking at property and as you're talking to your lender about what you can afford that you are prepared to purchase the house that you ultimately make an offer on. You could certainly go out and look what the marketplace has that would fit your needs for square footage and school district and type of lifestyle if it were a condo versus a single family residence. But if you're ready to make an offer on a property, you should have what's called either a pre-qualification or a pre-approval letter in hand to make your offer the strongest it can possibly be. Jim just mentioned two offers coming in, one having zero down, one having 20%. Well, also, if that zero down had a pre-approval letter attached to it, it has weight to it.
So that's sort of like, is that because it takes so long to do these things and to get from, point A of looking for a home to actually, submitting your money to buy the home? Or is that because the market is so fast here that, that the person who can actually, give the seller their money the fastest is going to get it?
Well, not necessarily the fastest. It's just showing the seller that you're serious and have gone through the proper steps in order to buy the house. You simply place a contract on a property, an offer. The seller has no idea whether you're qualified to purchase that house, and they might find out 30 days later that you really don't qualify.
And you look at it also, you're ultimately dealing with people's lives. I have a client now where we accepted a contract on their house that was strong, good down payment, good pre-approval from a local lender, and we accepted it because it helped them get to the next step of their lives. They're looking to purchase a home in a different market. And so if they were to accept an offer that had $500 earnest money deposit and no pre-approval or nothing of the sort, what confidence would they have going to make another purchase?
All right, feel free to dial us up. I know it's a beautiful Sunday, but I also know that there are a lot of folks out there having questions and concerns about buying and selling real estate, whether you're in this area, another market?
Another market.
Whether you're actually moving or considering moving to another market, Jim Duncan from Century 21 Manly Real Estate here in town, Matt Hodges, loan officer at Compass Home Loans, here to answer your questions. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCK. That's toll-free if you are listening in the Lynchburg Amherst, over in the Valley, maybe down in Richburg, or in the new 95.9 in Lexington. Dial us up. Is an older home that may be a fixer-upper better than a new home? How do I figure that out?
It depends. I think with many of the questions about buying a home, the answer always starts with it depends. It depends on what your time frame is, how you want to live your life. If you're handy, you have the ability and or the cash.
All right, then what do I consider before looking at a fixer-upper?
You consider whether you have the ability and or the desire or both to fix up that home. If you want a brand new home with the finest new kitchen and things of that nature, you might not want to look at an older home that hasn't been updated.
And Rick, we're probably also talking about the difference between something that needs a little bit of sweat equity for a buyer and something that truly needs work, that needs an HVAC system installed. If you don't have consistent heating throughout the house, the property is not going to pass an appraisal. And if you're not a Class A contractor or a Class B or a Class C, which most home buyers are not, then you need to talk about additional types of programs that would be available. Renovation loans. FHA has something called the 203K program that allows you to finance renovations into that. So we're really talking about if this house is whole, if it's marketable, if it will come back with an as-is appraisal, or whether it's subject to some repairs that are required to be done by Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or FHA.
Yeah, that's just more jargon that that I need explained to me, but we'll do that after we talk to Dave from Charlottesville. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Hey, man, what you got?
Well, I'm just wondering if I'm trying to reach a monthly payment. After doing all the different changes to the house that we're buying, the price is a little bit more than we expected. Would it be more advantageous to go with, say, a five and one that would be interest only, to pay down some points to get the percentage lower and bring the payment closer, or to put down more money to bring the payment closer?
Excellent question. The decision, and we should break these down into individual decisions that you make. The first is whether you stick with a fixed rate mortgage or whether you go to an adjustable. And the adjustables, as you mentioned, a 5-1. That simply means that it's fixed for 5 years and adjusts every year thereafter. Those adjustables come in as short as 1 month increments and as long as 10 years. If your goal is perhaps a 5-1 ARM, it's because you think that you can beat the marketplace on a fixed rate mortgage for that time period, and certainly refinance if you want to keep the house longer, if we assume that interest rates are going to climb over time. Or your goal for this house is simply not to own it greater than 5 years, or perhaps 6 or 7 years. Now, the interest-only part of your question, that is a decision on your asset allocation, and it's a discussion that I have with my clients. That is my money spent better in the home with a guaranteed rate of return of, say, 6% tax deduction, it's in the 4 range, or shall I pull out the principal from the mortgage payment and place it elsewhere, paying down credit cards that are not tax deductible, fully funding my 401k, fully funding my kids' 529 plan. That sort of goes into the decision of the interest only. And then the last piece is the down payment. Obviously, the larger the down payment, the lower the payment for you is going to be each month. So it's a holistic answer that you and your lender should come to, but you should explore each of these categories. And your question was fantastic.
Hey, thanks, Dave. All right, 11:29 here on the Wake Up Call. Free advice and suggestions, although nothing to actually spend great deals of money on. But, guy, what's up? 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we talk with Jim Duncan and Matt Hodges, a realtor and a loan officer, on buying and selling homes and real estate. I do want to thank Five Guys Burgers and Fries for their support today. Seville Reader's Choice for Burgers, and rated by Zagat Restaurant Survey for 4 years running. Five Guys serves America's standard, fresh and handmade, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., and they're open until 10 Fridays and Saturdays. Five Guys Burgers and Fries is behind the fountain in the Barracks Road Shopping Center, now open in the Hollymead Town Center, and coming soon to the Downtown Mall here in Charlottesville. 97 Five Guys. All right, call up with your questions for Jim and Matt. In the meantime, I have loads. One of the things that we tossed out all these terms, taxes, insurance, et cetera, and I still haven't really gotten to figure out how do I figure out what my expected monthly income or my expected monthly expenses will be if I have a mortgage, if I have taxes, if I have insurance, etc. Not asking you to figure out what my electrical bill is going to be, but all these things that seem to be related to the purchase of a new home before I actually get to take stuff out on my April 15th IRS day.
Okay. Rick, I've done up a little scenario for you.
Okay.
You are buying a $200,000 condo in the city of Charlottesville. How's that sound?
Do they make those still? I thought they were still
they
more...
They made them about 40 years ago.
Anyway, I'll go with that nice even number.
Okay, you don't have anything to put down, but you've got excellent credit.
That would be... Well, both of those are true.
Okay, good. So we're going to use the Virginia Housing Development Authority, we call VHDA. We're going to use their First Choice Program. Now, that is simply their brand name for their Zero Down Program for a first-time home buyer, and that's defined as somebody that has not owned a house in the last 3 years. You're going to do the interest-only option, which is the only thing essentially they offer to you, though each month they allow you to pay more. They give you a couple of options for payments, but it's underwritten as an interest-only program. You're going to
pay... That means I only pay the interest that I owe them and I never pay the
principals? For 7 years, your only requirement is interest, and then for the remaining 23, if you were to keep it that long, it's a 30-year mortgage.
Gotcha.
The remaining 23, it would be amortized at a quicker acceleration than you would be... used to, but in 7 years, you'll probably will have sold the house.
My payment goes up in 7 years.
Bingo.
Sometimes dramatically.
Okay.
That interest rate as of Friday was 6.875%. 0 points. No origination, no discount points. That simply means that you're paying your typical closing costs to get into this house. Not a bad interest rate when you compare it to conventional loans at 6 3/8 or 6.5 right now, because it's a zero down and there's no private mortgage insurance. It's fantastic. If we have that payment at $200,000, you're looking at interest only of $1,145. I'm assuming this property is going to be assessed in the city at 99 cents per $100 assessed value at its purchase price. And usually assessments are below purchase price, but let's just assume that. You'd be paying $165 a month in taxes. Now, condos are one of those rare birds that you don't, you're not required to have insurance because the condominium association pays that for you. It's suggested to cover your contents in case there was something that happened inside the structure, but you're not required to. And then let's also assume that you have a $150 homeowners association fee from the condominium for the pool, for the trash pickup, what have you. You're looking at a payment each month of $1,461.
Holy crap.
No, you can afford that. Plus, there's a lot of tax deductibility built into that. And by the way, the standard approval for that scenario would be around $44,000 in income per year. That would be the approximate. There are ranges.
If I'm making $44,000 a year gross income, I can
Correct.
Afford $1,400 a month?
Yes, sir.
Whose math is that?
That's VHDA's.
Wow.
Now, again, that is where when we started the program with, what can I qualify you for and what do you feel comfortable with? Big difference there. Now, the tax deductibility, though, is fantastic. It starts with $1,460 as your payment per month, but you've got $250 a month in tax deductions versus if you were renting an apartment. So it really feels more like it's a $1,210 payment if it were an apartment.
All right. Well, I appreciate the numbers, and I think a lot of other people do as well. You know, you always, I think figuring that out because people want to start at home, I think. People always want to start on their own, especially now that we have the internet. You want to poke around, you go to this web page and punch in your numbers, and people like to walk into things at least feeling as though they have some basic sense of what's going on.
I think Matt right there with that example showed why it's important to have a trusted advisor. Because if you go to one of the internet sites and do a basic calculator, it's probably not going to tell you what the tax deductibility is. And it's probably not going to tell you what the specific condo fees are or what have you. So the web is a great place to get your feet wet, to develop some good questions. Because I think it's important to walk into that lender's office or that realtor's office and have what I call dumb questions. Because it's a brand new thing for a lot of people. So walking in with these questions, you know, it's important. because then you're going to be better prepared to have an intelligent conversation with your lender and with your realtor and get those questions out of the way.
All right, we got a call from Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, how you doing, Rick?
Good, man. What you got?
All right, I was interested in buying an old rundown farmhouse for renovation, and I'm very handy and like doing stuff like that. One that I had seen, I approached the guy. He indicated that he had inherited it from his mother 4 years ago when she died and that he can't sell it without paying an inheritance tax penalty. So one thing I wondered is that true or was he just putting me off? Two, how much, what is the penalty? And three, I don't know, what would, might it be worth to offer paying that as part of the deal.
Mm, good stuff, Jeff. All right, man, keep listening. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
It depends.
You like that phrase a lot.
We are not tax professionals.
Thank you for the disclaimer. It depends on what the value of the property is and what the value of the property could be once he's finished. And
but
how
is it true? I think that was Jeff's first question, was if he did inherit it, there's an inheritance property tax?
I have no idea.
It's dependent on the family, the tax bracket, the amount in the estate. That's not a question that we could simply answer because we don't have the facts nor the expertise to answer that part of the question.
All right, we'll do part two and three while I try and dial up somebody to see if he can answer it.
I think that when you take the inheritance tax question out of it, you look at how you're going to finance it, what loans will be applicable to that particular property, what the value, how do you determine the value of the property, and what that value would be at fair market value, and then you look at what your plans are for that house. If you look to own it for 2 years and flip it, or 7 years, or what your end game is, I think you look at the value in 10 years and might maybe be able to make a better decision.
Yeah, and the part that he described, that he's very handy and he can do this work well, it goes back to my comment from earlier. You're generally going to need to be a contractor or work with a contractor on this process. That is not the whole realm of all lenders out there, but generally the lender wants to see that they have a capable contractor working on that project so that they know that they're secured, that their collateral is going to be there in the future.
All right, I did try and call my dad. I heard that little dial tone buzzing in the background. I was trying to call my dad. He is an attorney. He does, I believe, about three quarters of his work is related to contracts, real estate, et cetera. But they're not at home. I'm sure they're out on the golf course. But if I were to call and have his cell phone ring in the back of a backswing, that would be in all kinds of trouble. So dial us up, 11:39 here on the Wake Up Call as we talk about buying and selling homes. With Matt Hodges, financial loan officer from local Compass Home Loans. Jim Duncan, a realtor with Century 21 Manly, 11:39.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, Courtney Stewart tells the story of a family's beloved cat being shot by an area business owner. There's an update on convicted murderer Andrew Alston and his upcoming cremation. And the little magazine Virginia Quarterly Review beats big shots like The New Yorker to win some recent awards. The Hook, reminding you that X equals Y plus Z. At least in turn, till you get to the financial loan officer. And we want to take a moment to thank 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And hang tight, it's 20 minutes away, but you'll want to be here at noon for George Bell and his Les Temps Purdue. It's the best of the 80s and 90s alternative. No Milli Vanilli, Kaja Goo Goo, or Black Crows, but he will play the Pixies, The Call, and Courtney Love, and requests are always welcome. That's Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music, only here on WNRN. All right, let's see. We got Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. Questions for Jim and Matt?
I guess this is more for the realtor. I was recently trying to sell my house all by myself, and I'm moving to the Northern Virginia area. And basically what happened is that the people right before closing, I found out the hard way that they were not qualified. So basically I'm stuck with this house. I'm trying to sell myself, and I'm about to lose my house in Northern Virginia because of this. And I was just trying to find out what is the best thing that I could do.
All right, hang tight, Sarah. Stay on the line. Jim?
One, I'm sorry. It's a tough situation to be in. I really am truly sorry for what you're going through. If you're looking to sell it quickly, and it sounds like you are, I would say put it out there on the market and see and market it as widely and as aggressively as possible, as quickly as possible, at the right price. And I think that the right price is a key component to it. As the market changes, I think you need to evaluate your goals. This is more broad, but also for you, to price it at a reasonable level where you're going to elicit the most activity on the property.
So I'm taking that to mean maybe a little lower price than you had it at before, maybe not make as much money on it as you had hoped to out of the ever-advancing market?
Well, it depends. I think so. I mean, I think you look at what you had a contract on it before and do a new market analysis and see, you know, what the market value of it could be, and maybe price it 5%, 10% down below what that market value is. And then, again, I think it's important to market it as widely as possible to as many people as possible.
Hey, Sarah, where do you live? You don't have to give me your address, just your neighborhoody area.
In the Fry Springs area.
In the Fry Springs area. I would think that would sell, if not to the regular folk who find a realtor who will take it off your hands and rent it out.
Okay. And can I hold on the line to get Jim's contact information?
Yeah, we'll let you guys throw out your websites and stuff again. Go ahead, guys.
It's Jim. My website is jduncanrealestate.com. My blog is realcentralva.com, and I can be reached that way.
jduncanrealestate.com. And Matt, with Compass Home Loans?
Yeah, we're not quite at the blog stage yet, though I'm very interested in it. It's compasshomeloans.net.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you all so much.
Sarah, one other point is that you mentioned that you didn't want to lose the property in the Northern Virginia area that you have a contract on.
Right.
Your lender up in that area probably has some creative financing or can work with excluding the mortgage payment down here. If you could come up with perhaps a small down payment, you may want to explore, if you don't want to lose that property, what you might be able to do with he or she in Northern Virginia.
Right. She is working on it, but right now it looks like I'm going to have to sell it fast.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah.
Good luck.
So much.
All right. Now that's why we're on the air today. Hopefully answer a few questions like that and help Sarah through a kind of unfortunate time. Phone lines are open. Okay, now that I hung up the line, open it up. 979-0919 for the local folks. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS for those who need the toll-free line as we talk about buying and selling homes and real estate. With Jim Duncan from Century 21 Manly, Matt Hodges from Compass Home Loans. So Sarah takes us over into the selling part a little bit. She was talking about trying to sell it on her own. I guess one of my questions was, what's the hard, you know, why shouldn't people be, do their own thing? And I guess that provides us a great answer right there.
I agree. But I think that, you know, selling a house on your own, for some people, it's an option. For the vast majority, as we see that, you know, dual income earners, kids at home, things like that, just don't have the time nor the inclination to sell it on their own. I think that, again, with what Sarah said, it's important to market it as widely as possible out there on the internet to the various people who are looking to relocate here, who may not see her home online.
And it's also that possibility of getting screwed in the end.
Well, she dealt with a client that wasn't pre-qualified, pre-approved, and ultimately couldn't purchase the house. She didn't know, and this is no no slam on her. She didn't know that that was one of the things that's typical in our marketplace, is to have that letter in place so that you don't get 30 days down the road, 15 days before closing, and you don't have a real buyer.
So I do need an, or I don't need one, but I'm, I'll save myself the possibility of several troubles if I do have an agent to sell my home.
Hopefully. If you, I mean, again, I think that, that if you, if you work hard with your, with the team that you assemble to market your home, I think that, you know, usually you will have a positive outcome. I think it's becoming more and more difficult to prepare and market a home. It's taking a lot more work than people are used to.
11:46 here on the Wake Up Call with Jim and Matt talking about buying and selling homes and real estate. One of you guys, and this may be Jim, more directed at you. Explain the difference to me between exclusive representation and dual agency disclosure.
Oh, goody.
Because we talked a little bit about, we touched on ethics out in the lobby, and my brief a bit of homework made this sound like this was a potential ethics issue.
Yes, in short. I mean, I think that that exclusive agency or exclusive right to represent means that you are 100% behind whichever client that is, you know, your buyer or your seller, whatever.
So you're only representing the seller, or you're only representing somebody who's buying a house.
Correct. A dual agency is where you represent both parties. And I think for most people, that's, it has the potential to raise questions between where that agent's loyalties lie.
And that you come from representing both parties because I come to you telling you that I'm looking for a house and everything that I'm looking for. And you go, oh, guess what? I'm representing this. I have this guy Matt's home on my listings, and you might like that. Why don't we take you over there?
Right. Hey, I used to say that I would never do that because I didn't feel comfortable with the potential questions that might be raised. But now I've stopped, and I don't say never anymore, but I strongly try not to do so. It's not worth it to me in my business to have questions raised. Because most of my business comes from repeat business. And if I gave the perception of screwing over one of my clients, they probably wouldn't use me again. And that's just not good business.
Is there a piece of paper or something you can, you know, is there a form or a legal document that you can sign that says, hey, I'm being upfront with everybody here, or I'm not disclosing anything.
Absolutely.
I've got a nice thick line here between the two parties.
Now, whenever a buyer or seller enters into an agency agreement, they should always sign that notice of disclosure of what that agreement is. But there's a form where it says, you know, where it lays out the responsibilities and roles of the agent to each set of clients. And as long as you're up front and you disclose to both parties, I think that it's okay. I think if as long as you're honest and open, and the buyer and seller are honest and open, and everybody's expectations are on the right level, then I think it's a fine situation.
Hey, where's the what's the hot new place in our area to go buy a home?
Charlottesville.
In the city itself?
I think it's you know,
as opposed to like Nelson or,
well, Nelson's hot.
Some section of Albemarle County or
Nelson's hot. Nelson is starting to they're investigating. Excuse me, investigating trying to get broadband over power lines so that they're going to be able to bring in more of the telecommuting crowd who want that gorgeous landscape and mountain views and fresh, clean air. I think, closer to employment is the answer, depending on where that employment is for that party.
If I'm selling my home, what am I required to disclose to anybody, whether it's to the... to the realtor, to the people who are coming to check it out, what am I required to disclose, and can I get burned for things at some point after if it's found out and it becomes a problem?
Virginia is a caveat emptor state. Buyer beware. The responsibility and the onus of responsibility is on the buyer to hopefully do a home inspection to learn more about the house.
Is that required?
It's not required.
Inspection is paying a professional licensed person to go in and
inspect the home and give you a snapshot in time of what that house looks like. It's not required. I've been able to talk all of my buyers into getting one because it's about the best $350 you'll ever spend. But you look at from a disclosure point of view, you have to disclose any latent defects that are not discoverable by a reasonable person. So if you have sewage running between the wall and you've been covering it up with duct tape, it's probably going to be found and you might be in trouble later down the line.
Matt, do any of the local lenders require you to have a home inspection before giving you money?
Yeah, generally not. The home inspection is something to do to satisfy the buyer. The professional third party that we look to is called an appraiser, and that is the person that validates the sales price and describes the property as marketable, in shape for someone else to purchase. So that's the validation that the sales price is reasonable between a buyer and a seller, and the property is in good shape.
Well, how do you do that if, you know, we're talking about the city? So the city is appraising things for tax purposes at $100,000, but it's being sold for $200,000, and you got five people out there who want it.
Yeah, we'll just clarify between appraisal and assessment because they're two separate things. What the city or the county does is assess property according to where they believe the market value is, but generally has very little consequence on where the price of the house might be when it's listed.
Right. So those aren't they're not the same word.
There's assessment, there's appraisal, and then there's fair market value. Assessment is what the locality determines the value of the property for tax purposes. Appraisal is what the third party representative determines as the value, and the fair market value is what a ready, willing, and able buyer will spend.
So there is no fair market value left in this area.
Well, there is. I mean, if two offers come in and one of them is higher than the other one, then fair market value is the higher price on that day.
All right, we got Scott from Belmont calling us back again. Scott was first. Hey, Scott, you should be able to tell us a lot about assessment and appraise, et cetera, in Belmont.
Yeah, and I guess I hope that the listeners understand that there's sort of almost three professionals involved. There's a tax appraiser, which just is for tax purposes. There's the assessor, and the assessor is not going to come in and, I don't know, look for cracks in the foundation. They may look at gross things, and I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they generally look at whether the systems have been updated and so forth. But that's sort of completely different from a home inspector who's going to tell you this pipe has an electric wire running over it, or this spacing on your deck, the joists are not close enough. One of the things that I run into, and I thought you all might comment, so once you have a contract, everybody's proceeding, you've got your loan and so forth, often comes down to that last couple of hairy days, and I've seen other deals that got hung up over $50 light fixture, and maybe you could give some strategies for avoiding those last minute things when people are anxious and maybe their feelings are running high, of avoiding those things that in the overall scope of things are really not that big a deal, but people can sometimes dig their heels in on.
All right, Scott. Thanks, man. Let these guys take it away.
I try to counsel my clients not to let their emotions get involved until after they close. Because once you let the emotions get involved, it's more difficult to think rationally sometimes. For the last, hairy details, as you call it, little $50 light fixtures, I think you look at it and try not to sweat the small stuff. As long as everybody is open and honest with each other as the whole thing proceeds, I think you're going to be in fine shape. And as long as you prepare and set your expectations. There's one thing in the contract that says the property is going to be in broom clean condition at closing, at the final walkthrough. And I tell everybody uses a different broom. Prepare to clean your house.
All right, 11:55 here on the wake-up call. We got time for another call or so. If you want to be the person to finally squeeze in your question about buying and selling of homes and real estate with Jim Duncan from Century 21 Manly. Yeah, I don't have that written down. I'm trying to remember it every time. And Matt Hodges with Compass Home Loans. Dial us up, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. I will take a moment to thank Crown as they support us today. Crown owns Child's Peach Orchard, and they're now offering pick-your-own strawberries. You'll also find pre-picked strawberries, fresh produce, and an ice cream bar. Child's Peach Orchard is on State Route 691 between Greenwood and Crozet. Open 9 till 6 Monday through Saturday and 10 till 5 on Sundays. And while the phone rings and they pick it up, I'll tell you WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM 3 Amherst Lynchburg. Channel you are listening to. All right, real quick, guys. I'm selling the house. What do I need to do to prepare my home for sale?
Make it look perfect. Make it look like a show home. The advice I give my clients is one that my family and I used when we sold our house. And I hate to say it, but when you brush your teeth in the morning, you need to rinse the sink, dry it, shine it, put the toothbrush away, so that people can come in and envision themselves in this perfect clean house, which it'll never be that clean again, but most likely, if you have kids at least. You want to look at it through the eyes of that buyer coming through. I think you need to want to depersonalize it as much as possible, declutter as much as possible, and make it as inviting a home as possible.
Assume that the buyer will be coming through every single day, so it needs to be clean, it needs to be straight every single time you show it. Think about some of the things that your realtor suggests to you that should be done, replacing flooring that may cost you $1,000, but ultimately will bring that buyer in a little bit quicker or get a higher value. Truly trust that the staging of this house and the advice that your realtor is giving you is valid.
Is the best offer that I receive all about the money? And not in a greedy fashion. And I know that, but let's assume that everyone has a pre-approved piece, unlike Sarah had to deal with, our earlier caller. But everyone has a pre-approved loan. Is it just a matter of how much money I'm being offered by couples?
No.
A, B, and C?
No. Maybe. But I think that you evaluate
each. It depends?
It depends. It depends on the closing date, whether that matches with what your next step is going to be.
Ah, the closing date.
It depends on the home inspection, whether they want 15 days to do the home inspection or if they want 7 days to do the home inspection. That's time that you can shorten to keep your house off the market for the shortest period of time. You look at evaluate their financials. You evaluate whether they're asking for the refrigerator or if they're not. When I evaluate offers with my clients, we look at probably 25 to 30 different components that go into each offer, that make up that offer in total. So there are an awful lot of little niggling details.
What about a family or a couple or a single person, doesn't matter, that wants to purchase the house as their owner occupied versus as an investor?
Yeah, I think that one, you get into the financial details of that, but also, I look at it from a psychological point of view. Do my sellers want to sell to an investor who's going to rent out their home, or do they want to sell to somebody who's going to raise a family? It's not always about just what's on the paper. It's also the intangibles that go into the offer.
All right, guys, we're finishing up here. One little piece of advice that our realtor and our financial officer can give all our listeners.
I would say that you should be forthcoming with when your discussions with the loan officer about what your goals, your desires of the property are, what your desired payment's going to be per month, what your desired down payment is, and not be sold into a product that the loan officer wants to provide to you, an exotic mortgage, for example, a 40-year amortization, a negative amortization loan. Really, you need to talk to the loan officer and describe your situation and take some control there.
All right, Jim?
Be patient. Be honest with yourself and with the people with whom you're dealing. Understand what your goals are and what your needs and wants are, and go forward and educate and inform yourself so that you can make the best possible decision. Because it's a big decision. You're talking about a lot of money here.
All right, you can catch us on www.cvillepodcast.com if you joined us late and you wanted to hear what else we talked about today. Jim Duncan, Century 21 Manly. It's jduncanrealestate.com.
jduncanrealestate.com.
jduncanrealestate.com. And Matt, it's compasshomeloans.net. compasshomeloans.net. All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate you coming in on a beautiful Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back next Sunday, and then we'll be doing a little political talk with Pete Ronayne and hopefully Jim Salka. George Bell is up next.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.rlc.net. The wake-up call is produced by Catherine Greiner. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.